be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown in the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil comes and steals away what was sown in the heart. Seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
With the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son, today's parable is, in my opinion, the most important. It describes our entire relationship to the Lord, how we receive his gift and how we respond to it. The Lord gives us parables, as he explained to us yesterday, precisely so that we might turn to him with the heart, understand and convert. But he uses parables because parables are a real test with regard to how much work we're going to put to understand the parable. Like good poetry with a lot of symbolism, there are certain people who listen to poetry and just blow it off saying, "I don't understand what Shakespeare's getting to," one of the great poets. And then there are the others who really ponder the meaning. The Lord uses parables precisely in order to encourage us to do the work to figure out what's being described and how it's supposed to move us. It's important today that we take a soil sample of our life to the Lord. We have to be honest. Everybody thinks, because we're priests and religious, that automatically we fall into the category of good soil. We know it's not that simple. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. The seed of his word today has the ability to change our life 30, 60, 100 ways or more. That's the power if we receive it well. Whether it does or not depends on our receptivity. And so if I can start with a little test, please don't answer out loud. If we're really listening to the word with good soil, we're going to retain it. We're never going to bear fruit from the word unless we retain it. So can anybody remember what Sunday's gospel was? Don't respond out loud. How about yesterday's responsorial psalm? How about today's responsorial psalm? I love to do these tests with Carmelites because they can never get the right answers. But the point is, we've first got to retain it. And if we're listening for this word to change our life, we're going to be listening better to the word of God than a greedy man who's listening to a 90-year-old person telling him where the buried treasure is. And if he says it's got 20 steps in it, he's going to be listening attentively to every one of those 20 steps. We need to listen to the word of God with that same way. And we need to work to understand it, to listen with the heart. Jesus describes four types of soil. The first is hardened by the wayside. Seed basically bounces off it as if it were bouncing off concrete. Explained to the sisters across the burrow yesterday how farming was done in the ancient world at Jesus' time. It's important to grasp the images being used. Today, what do? We till soil, then we plant seed, then we turn it over, then we water and make sure that it grows. In the ancient world, you just take bags of seed and you'd walk up these narrow passageways between strips of farming land. And you just scatter seed all over the place. And then you would come into those areas of farming territory and you'd try to turn it over. Lot would fall on those paths you were walking on and it would basically stay there. It wouldn't go underneath and the birds would come and eat it, symbolizing what the devil tries to do. Stubborn seed, resistant. Now we know who are resistant to the Word of God. Infatuated sinners are easy. They don't want to hear the Lord. They're running away. But my pastoral experience, another group of very hardened soil, are daily mass goers. Not because they want to resist the Lord, but because they have an attitude where I have heard that every single Friday of the 16th week since I was married. And it no longer has the ability to change their life because they don't think they need to listen in that way. We need to examine those times where we think we've already heard the message, where we think we've already figured it out, because the power of the Word of God, the words of eternal life, will do nothing to us unless we till that hardened soil. Second place where the seed could land is what Jesus calls rocky soil. A lot of the times as we're growing on up, when we hear this, we think about our little gardens with a whole bunch of pebbles within it and maybe things a little bigger. In the Holy Land, almost two-thirds of the country had a very thick layer of limestone about 3 to 5 inches under the soil. So when the seed would be planted there and when it would be turned up, because there was very little soil underneath, when the water would hit it, the water would stay right there and it would really help the seed to germinate and start to grow. But the roots couldn't go below that layer of limestone. So as the sun came up, it would scorch the newly germinated whatever. These are the ones, Jesus says, who hear the word initially with joy, but they have no roots. It lasts only for a time. Whenever a trial or persecution comes, it immediately falls away. It's a very common type of soil. We listen, we like the word, we get a consolation from the word, but we don't help those roots to go as deeply as possible into our life. And when any trouble comes, we forget the power of that word to influence that circumstance. So if we're going to have fruitful soil, we've got to jackhammer through with the power of God, that thick layer underneath our surface, so that we don't approach things at a superficial level, but at a truly deep one. Third layer of soil, Jesus says, is fundamentally good, but you've got a lot of thorns there. And the growth of the thorn bushes steal the nutrients and eventually get entangled with the good growth and choke it. And what does Jesus describe as the thorns? He doesn't describe sins. Sins would obviously choke the growth of the seed within us. But he talks about worldly cares and the anxiety, worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. In other words, fears and pleasures can choke the growth of the seed. You know, if we're coming to hear the Word of God and we're worried because our father is going to have life-threatening surgery today, it's going to be very difficult for us to pay attention to the Word. Likewise, if we're coming and our stomach is turning and we're really hoping we get chocolate chip pancakes for breakfast after Mass, it's likewise going to distract from that growth of the seed. For us to bear good fruit, we have to know what our fears, we have to know what our anxieties, we have to know what the lures are in our life, because they choke the growth of the seed. And then finally, it's good soil, soil that the Lord will give us, which hears the word and understands it. That word, understand, is a beautiful one. You get underneath it. You see how the things are put together. It's not just an intellectual act. There's a lot of work that's involved in understanding it. it's not a superficial comprehension, because you know it's got a lot of pieces to it, but you put in that work and you bear fruit with it. And not just some fruit. Jesus doesn't say a little teeny weeny piece of fruit. He uses gargantuan numbers for the ancient world. 30 is a big number. 60, 100-fold. If we were telling the parable today, you might say 10,000, 100,000, 100 million ways. When we look at the Jews in today's first reading, we see all four different types of soil. Many, for example, listened with hardened soil. They resisted what the Lord wanted. Moses called them a stiff-necked people. And Jesus himself would get those stiff necks turned to him with the scribes and the Pharisees later. You also saw the superficial soil. Right after today's proclamation of the commandments, they would say, all that the Lord has commanded, we will do. Did they? No, as soon as any tribulation came on up, we're tired of this wretched food. Growth wouldn't happen. First commandment, shall not make any graven images before me. Soon as Moses is up there on the mountain a little bit too long, they make a golden calf and worship a false god. Third type of soil is that thorny soil, worldly cares and anxieties, where they begin to long for the flesh pots of Egypt, and the devil starts to play them like a fiddle. Wasn't able to bear the type of fruit. And then we have Moses, who did. We have Mary, who is the classic case of good soil, bearing fruit that will last. We've got so many others. We can look at the Ten Commandments, even among Catholics, and examine the types of receptivity and response. Yes, there are many who are resistant, not necessarily to the ones that don't challenge them, but to the ones that are causing them to change. You minister to all those, including Catholics, who think that the fifth commandment is just a suggestion rather than a commandment. Whole industries made on defiantly breaking the fifth commandment. We see a lot who receive the Ten Commandments with joy, but it doesn't go down really deep. When they start coveting what everybody else has, they don't even really examine their consciences, because they just really haven't allowed it to do that. The worldly cares and anxieties are normally what choke the growth. The Ten Commandments are meant to help us to love God and love others as God wants us to. And it just doesn't bear that type of fruit because people are too busy amassing a fortune, perhaps. Or people are too afraid what others will say if they start to live according to the manner of the Holy Word of God. But there are those who really live this, and it launches them on a path of the love of God and the love of neighbor. All of the commandments, Jesus will say, all of the law and the prophets hang on the twofold commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. Hang on these two tablets. Those are the ones who really bear fruit in a union of love as branches on the vine, without whom we can never bear fruit. Today the church celebrates the feast of someone who bore abundant fruit because he had this type of soil that the Lord gave, and he took the word of God deeply seriously. Saint Charbel Maclouf was born Joseph Anthony Maclouf. When he was 23, he basically ran away from home in order to become a monk because he wasn't getting the support of his family. They didn't have the same type of soil to the gift of the Lord as this young Joseph did. He prepared to be a monk, and he was sent away to become a priest, served as a priest for years. And then he knew that the Lord was calling him deeper. The Lord wanted him to become even more receptive soil. So he asked for the permission to be a hermit so that he could spend his life really pondering the Word of God, letting it first bear interior fruit in case the Lord wanted that exterior fruit to nourish the world. That's precisely what started to happen. People would go to him at the top of this very high, wintry mountain in Lebanon in order to consult him. And just his very presence was a sign of the fruitfulness of the Word, because that Word began to have a massive impact in his life because of his prayers, which were consequentially based upon his letting the Word of God, saying, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, really bear manifold consequences. Because of that faith, when he would pray for things, voila, things would happen. Same types of things that the Lord really wants to give to each of us who persevere in prayer. And even after his death in 1898, people making pilgrimages to a shrine have received multiple miracles, including many shocking ones. The miracle for his beatification was of a woman who was paralyzed. She prayed to Saint Charbel, and she was asking everybody to pray to Saint Charbel. One night, it seemed in a dream, she saw two monks come and they did surgery on her. When she awakened, she found two surgical remarks in her neck, and now she had total mobility and no pain whatsoever. And she thought that one was Saint Charbel. She couldn't tell who the second one was. Obviously caused a great stir. The next night, Saint Charbel appeared and said, yes, he was the one who had done the surgery, and asked her on the 23rd of every month to come to a pilgrimage to a shrine and to bring others to bring their prayers to God through him who would be praying for them and with them. Saint Charbel continues to bear fruit by the power of the Word of God into eternity, because these are the words of eternal life. Today, as we come forward, we don't come forward routinely. It's not just another daily Mass. It's not just another hearing of the Book of Exodus and the Psalms and St. Matthew's Gospel. These words have the power to change our life forever, and through that dramatic transformation, change the whole world. And we do it because the Word becomes flesh on the altar and then is meant to take our own flesh. As long as we remain in communion as branches on this vine, Jesus promises we will bear fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will truly nourish and improve the world. Through Saint Charbel's intercession, we ask for the soil that this powerful word deserves. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.